Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show, the show that takes the mystery out of spirituality with your host, David Gagan, engineer, science director, scholarly researcher of life's mysteries, and author of The Endless Journey.
Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show. I'm host Dave Gagan, and today's show is titled Vibrations. Please note that all the chat room questions will be answered on next week's chat room, as well as posted on my website within a day or so of the show. We encourage and welcome your questions. Many people talk about raising their vibration, but what does that mean? And why is it important? Music's vibration, color's vibration, and even scientific studies which have been done indicate that smell is vibration. But do we vibrate? Now, frequency is the measure of how fast something vibrates. In the audio range, which are simply the frequencies which our ears hear, a single frequency would sound like a single tone. But if we heard multiple frequencies, like voices or music, we'd call that a frequency spectrum. Now, you may be wondering how this has anything to do with spirituality. Well, I consider spirituality to be the effort we engage in when we try to figure out who we are, why we are here, and how we should act. Manly P. Hall, the famous mystic, said that if man can completely understand vibration, he will be the master of most of the secrets of the world. Edgar Cayce, probably the greatest psychic of our time, mentioned vibration in over 1,000 readings that he performed, and he considered vibration to be a key concept in regards to how we and the universe operate. Our guest today is Kevin Tedeschi, Executive Director and CEO of Edgar Cayce's Association for Research and Enlightenment at Atlantic University, where he manages the day-to-day operations of the Edgar Cayce organizations. As both student and teacher of the Cayce material for some 35 years, he's lectured on 5 continents to thousands of individuals. Kevin is a nationally recognized resource on the interpretation of dreams, teaching students nationwide the art of dream interpretation. A prolific writer, he is the author of more than 25 books, including Edgar Cayce on the Akashic Records, Edgar Cayce on Soulmates, Edgar Cayce on Auras and Colors, and his most recent book, Contemporary Cayce, an overview of the Cayce material in easy-to-understand language, which he co-authored with Henry Reed. But most importantly for us, Mr. Tedeschi wrote the Edgar Cayce on Vibrations, Spirit in Motion. Kevin Tedeschi, welcome to the show, Kevin. It's great to have you back.
Dave, thanks for having me on the program.
Hey, we had you on a number of months ago, and ever since that show, I've been looking forward to having you back, and I've been especially looking forward to having you back since I read your book on vibrations. Now, what makes vibration such a special topic that you'd write a whole book on it?
Well, you know, Cayce was talking about vibrations as early as 1911, and essentially he stated that everything is made up of vibration, whether it's a human body or the way our senses operate through vibration or even medical approaches to healing. Everything has its own vibration. Just to give your listeners an idea, he suggested that even a room creates a vibration based on what happens in that room or that activity. So, for example, if you walk into a church or a synagogue when it's empty, the feeling in that room is very different than if you walk into a post office, even if it's empty. So he suggested that activity creates vibration, people create vibration, our thoughts create a vibration, and actually, beginning in 1931, he began a program called A Search for God, an ecumenical study group program that really helped people grow spiritually. And he suggested that the whole purpose of that group was really to enable individuals to raise their own vibration, becoming a spiritual figure in the process. So the Cayce information is rich with the topic of vibrations related to healing, consciousness growth, spiritual development, everything about us.
So what's vibrating? I mean, you know, we know that particles vibrate, right? Everything, and science tells us that everything that you know, everything is made up of electronics, but it's electrons, and electrons are vibrating. But it's a lot more than that. Is it our energy that's vibrating? What's vibrating?
Well, Casey would say he would be very similar to the superstring theory of quantum physics, which essentially states that all the primary forces of nature are just different manifestations of the same force in different vibrations. Casey would say that that force is ultimately the creative force of God, and that that force vibrates at different levels, and depending on the rate of vibration, it's the physical manifestation that we see. So whether it's the desk you're sitting at, yes, that's made up of electrons, and yes, that's vibrating. Our physical bodies are vibrating. Thoughts are vibrating. So everything, from Casey's premise, is really that everything is God stuff. Everything is part of the creative force that moved creation into being, and depending on its level of vibration, it's what we see, it's what we experience. Hugh Lynn Casey, who was Edgar Casey's eldest son, he used to say that, you know, ultimately, even our thoughts create crimes or miracles based on what we're thinking. So we can walk by someone, and based on where we're at, we essentially create a healing or a harmful vibratory field around us just by what we're thinking.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. And, yeah. I want to get that. We'll get into that a little deeper as we go on. Do you have any idea why higher frequencies are better than lower? I could never figure it out. I know that that's what we're told, but do you have any idea?
Well, I would say that, I mean, we're trying to think of it from our third dimensional perspective here, higher and lower. I think it's about the fact that the lower frequencies probably do not encompass all of our reality. So, for example, Casey suggested that we have seven spiritual centers in our body that really correspond to the endocrine centers in our body, and that the lowest vibration levels are concerned with things like self-propagation, self-survival, sexuality, things like that, whereas the higher vibratory levels are concerned with love, service, our connectedness to one another. They're all important, but it's when we focus on the lower vibration of our nature that we really overlook who we are as spiritual beings having a physical experience.
Okay. I'm an electronic engineer, and you know, in communication, the higher the frequency, the more information that you could pass through. Mm-hmm. And maybe that has something to do with it. I really don't know. But it's an interesting concept. I loved your answer, though. I think you're right. I think it's a combination of frequencies, and higher may mean more complex. I don't really know, but it's we each have a signature. You know, we each seem to have a frequency, and it's not just people. Everything seems to have a frequency signature.
Absolutely. In fact, Casey suggested that our unique vibration is actually as unique as a fingerprint. And many, for those listeners who don't know, he was able to put himself to sleep. He could tune into someone wherever they might be, just being given their address. He could describe what was wrong with them, how they could get well, even recommend doctors that were near them that he had no conscious knowledge of. And on a number of occasions, maybe 20, he would tune into the person who was supposed to be at a certain place at a certain time and say that the individual was not there. Sometimes they'd been caught in traffic. Sometimes they forgot the appointment. Sometimes they forgot the time. And he would proceed and say, we will give the reading based on the vibrations in this room. So we leave behind a residue of our vibration wherever we are. And, you know, that may sound unusual, but one of the things I often think about is I used to, when I was going to college, I worked as a waiter in a country club, and that country club had two managers. One was a manager over food and beverage, who was a very dictatorial marine type, everyone stand at attention. And the other one was the manager over all the sports activities like golf and tennis and things like that. And all the waiters and waitresses would be staying around the clubhouse. And when the marine guy walked in, the whole energy changed in that room, and everyone kind of felt tense and uncomfortable. And we were just, you know, it just wasn't a great place to work. And whereas when the other guy walked in, he was so jovial that even just walking in, the energy in the room changed. And I think that happens to us all the time. We just don't, you know, come to understand that it's about vibration. It's about people's vibration. It's about how we resonate to the vibration. And obviously there's people were attracted to and people were repelled by. But a lot of it has to do with the vibration that they are putting off.
Yeah, and I suspect we pick up some of that from their aura must have a certain vibration, and we pick up that aura from them. And we also, I mean, if somebody is sad or mad or whatever, you can tell. You know, but a lot of times before they even open their mouth, and maybe it's kind of you just feeling their vibration.
Absolutely. In fact, speaking of sadness, there was a woman, elderly woman, probably in her late 60s, early 70s, who went to Edgar Cayce, and she had a problem with depression. She was very depressed. So when she went out, she'd be very all dolled up. She liked to wear pearls, get all her makeup on, go out and be among friends. And she came to Cayce because she was really having a problem with depression. So he outlined a series of readings for her, things she could do to overcome her depression. And she started feeling better, and she'd get dressed, and she'd go out again, and she'd be depressed. And she'd try the treatment again, start to feel better, go out again, and she'd be depressed. So she got a reading, why am I keep getting depressed again? And he told her that her pearls had become imbued with depression. And every time she put them on, she was reinfecting herself. And basically, the energy of the pearls were pulling her down. And then he told people how they could actually change the energy in an object, like by playing music, working with spiritual energy, prayer. We might today say saging, anything that has to do with changing the vibration. But objects around us pick up vibration, and we can tune back into that vibration.
See, that's an interesting idea because, one thing, especially jewelry, right? We pass jewelry down and we buy used jewelry, and, jewelry never kind of goes away. It just keeps kind of recirculating. And to think that if jewelry has been worn by somebody that was very negative and they have a negative vibration, that indeed that can cause the wearer to pick up some of that negative vibration.
Absolutely.
How can you fix that? I mean, one of the things Cayce said was, I remember in your book, he said that he recommended demagnetizing some jewelry by putting it in violet light for a tenth of a second or something along that line, which I thought was really interesting. But can a positive attitude of somebody, can it eventually overcome that if you are a positive person? Can you remagnetize it?
You can, and like I said, you can play music, you can burn incense, you can light candles and set a more positive intent, but you have to at least have the same level of intensity that the wearer of whatever it was had when they were putting in the negative energy to begin with. So you have to meet it with a higher vibration. And it's not just jewelry. I mean, there was one individual who had a problem with arteriosclerosis, and Cayce told this woman that her problem was so severe that actually the house had picked up that energy, and that the next person who moved into that house would be prone to arteriosclerosis unless she changed the vibration. So I think there is a positive side to this. Cayce pointed out the story in the Bible where Jesus was surrounded by a crowd, and a woman who'd been sick for a dozen years just reached out and touched the hem of his robe and was healed because the vibration in his garment had picked up his vibration. And so you can have a positive experience as well. And in fact, we have a prayer group here that works on sending out healing vibrations to people on our prayer list. Cayce said that you can send out healing vibrations on the wings of thought. And so it's a fascinating topic to see how interconnected we all are through our thoughts, our energy, things like that.
Yeah. And I guess certain kind of stones and crystals, we talk. There's such things as crystal healing,
absolutely.
And I guess that's working under the same principle.
It is, and Cayce suggested that certain stones would be helpful for us for certain reasons. So, for example, he recommended lapis lazuli if people wanted to work with their intuition. That would somehow help promote intuition, be a vibration for intuition.
Yeah, this is. You mentioned this in the book, and I just want to – we're talking with Kevin Tedeschi here in your book, Vibration, Spirit, and Motion. So if people are interested in the details, we're just talking about we're just hitting the highlights here. But a lot of this information is in this book. So if you're looking for more information, I highly recommend you go get Kevin's book on vibrations. One of the things that you mentioned in that book is there is, I think his name is Masaru Emoto, and he discovered that thoughts affected water. What was that all about?
Well, he, Mr. Emoto, as you know, Dave, we have conferences here in Virginia Beach year round. We have conferences throughout the country, and we bring resources in from all over to speak about topics that are, you know, connected to what Edgar Cayce had to say, whether or not these individuals know anything about Edgar Cayce. And Masaru Emoto wrote a bestseller called The Hidden Messages of Water, and he was a Japanese researcher who found that he originally started with school children, and he'd get a container of water, and he'd have the school children do things like sing happy birthday to it, or think positive thoughts, or say words like I love you. And then he would freeze the water crystals and look at the water crystals under a microscope, and they would make all kinds of beautiful prisms and shapes and very structured, beautiful shapes. And then he'd try another approach where he'd work with the same children, and he'd have them stare at a water container and think things like, I hate you, or you're evil, or even the word no in a mean approach. And he'd freeze the water. And the water crystals he has pictures of in this book are misshapen. They're horribly formed. They are not at all the same kind of prisms and equal shapes as the first set. And so he came up with his theory that our thoughts have a very positive or negative effect upon water. And the thing that I think about often is considering the fact that each and every one of us is mostly made up of water. If you stop and think about how many people, regardless of who our president is, that you have probably 100 million people each administration thinking what an idiot the president is, no wonder the guy ages in office. I mean, it is a very serious thing to not be aware of our thoughts, not be aware of what we're sending out to other people.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the other thing that you can't help but notice is, you know, if you watch the news, how much of the news is positive? I mean, if it's 1%, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, it oftentimes, I think, unfortunately, the news has found that people are more apt to watch if there's a disaster or there's something that really grabs a hold of our lower centers, our fear. And unfortunately, our mind buys into that, and we just perpetuate the same kind of negative thinking.
Yeah, and it's pretty depressing. And you wonder if that negative thinking, clearly it hurts us individually as we see it, but it
absolutely
it can't help us as a nation either.
Absolutely, you know. And in as an interesting aside here, I mentioned earlier on that Cayce started this Search for God program, which is all over the world. And one of the exercises that group members try, you go off for a week and you try these different spiritual experiments, is to try to go one day without saying or thinking a bad thought about anyone. And you know how hard that is? I mean, that is next to impossible. We are so predisposed to seeing what's wrong or having little critiques about everyone that it's a very challenging exercise to undertake.
Boy, I bet it is. You're right. We live in a society of judgment.
And, yep.
You know, we're forever judging others, and I guess being judged. We certainly feel we're being judged by other people, and we probably are being. It's a difficult society, really, to grow and to exist in.
Absolutely. You know, just speaking of one of my first experiences with seeing how powerful vibrations could be was when I first came to our campus here in, I believe it was 1980. We have a meditation room on our third floor, and I walked into that meditation room, and it was empty, and I have to tell you, I was blown away by the feeling in that room. We have a prayer group that meets in there once a week. We have staff meditation that happens there every day. And as Cayce suggested, the activity in a room really does energize that room, and you can pick up on it.
Yeah.
So it's not just psychic people. I think anybody is sensitive enough where they can go into a room and they can feel whether or not they feel good in that room or not. And Cayce suggested that collectively the people in a house and the people in the city create a collective energy for that city. So that, for example, there was a woman who came to Mr. Casey and asked him why certain cities gave her real problems with headache and problems with their allergies. And Casey suggested that the reason was her vibration was higher than those couple of cities she had mentioned. So a city has a vibration. He recommended that people, and you know, we've had experienced contemporary experiences where they've gone into a city that had a high crime rate and got a dozen people to meditate for an hour or two. And the crime rate goes down because the vibration in that city, at least momentarily, has changed. And it's just a very interesting subject. There's a wealth of experiments we could try with vibration in our own lives and, you know, collectively.
Well, you know, that takes it back to the individual. You know, we as a person can have a lot more influence on others, and obviously ourselves, but on others, and not just the people that are around us immediately, but the whole area. And we, you know, if we can be a calming influence, if you will, and have and think more positive thoughts, we can actually impact the world we live in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, years ago, so everyone here at Aries in the clear, years ago, I tried this experiment with a coworker who really was a challenge to me in lots of ways. We did not get along, and I felt like this individual was always trying to catch me make mistakes and things. And I started trying to only think good, positive thoughts about this person. And at first, it was she'd come into the office, and I had to really stretch to say, well, you know, her hair looks nice, or, you know, she's wears a nice outfit. And I really started working with her. If I got a bad thought in my head, I pushed it out. And I have to tell you, trying it for about 3 or 4 weeks, something started to happen, and I completely transformed that relationship until we finally became friends. And I do think that our thoughts are much more powerful because of the vibration associated with thoughts than we've ever imagined.
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting, because there is probably nobody certainly listening to this show or doing this show like me or you know, probably in existence that doesn't have or hasn't had negative situation with certain people. And if we really believe that we could turn that around, and if we understood that and did that experiment that you're talking about, I'll tell you, the world and our life would be a lot better place for us to live in.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the readings suggested that is where we are collectively headed, that eventually we will have a world that is cognizant of one another. We will be very much aware of our personal relationship with the divine. And Casey, in fact, said that eventually that there will be an age, and I'm not certain it's going to happen in our lifetime, but it will be an age that will become known as the age of purity.
Age of purity. And that's when we have evolved. We as a society, I guess around the world, has evolved to a certain level where we can better understand and operate in this environment. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. In fact, he suggested that the highest vibration was really a consciousness of oneness, our oneness that not only as individuals, but our oneness with one another, our connectedness to one another, our oneness as a planet, that was the highest vibratory influence, the energy of oneness.
So that means that we would understand and maybe feel inside that we're connected with each other, with everything.
Absolutely. And even to take it a step further, not only are we connected, but the reading suggests we're responsible for one another, that we are responsible for one another. And, you know, sometimes we think, you know, I got enough responsibilities. I don't need to be responsible for one another. But, I mean, it's simple things, and not to brag, but, you know, if someone is at a grocery store and they're sitting there and they have a cup and they need money sitting out the side of the store, I go out of my way generally to give that person money. And some people might say, you know, well, how do you know what they're going to do with that money? And I always say, that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to do what I'm supposed to do. It's up to that person to decide what's best for themselves. So I think we really are responsible for one another. And I think we really can change the world that we live in. And it's as we do the little things that it eventually contributes to the good of the greater whole.
See, I think you hit it right at the end there, you know, the little things. Because, you know, right now people in our society have, you know, we have a lot on our plate, right, as a community. But if we can just start changing the little things, like the relationship that you did with the employee that you had personality or whatever problem with, if people can just do the little things, they don't have to go take on somebody and bring them into their home and raise them, be great. But it's the little things, and if you start doing the little things, they start to add up, and pretty soon you don't realize it, but you've done some pretty good things, and they're pretty big things.
Absolutely. In fact, there's a motto that Edgar Cayce says in perhaps 100 readings that really that our calling is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And if we just do that as kind of like an internal motto, we will transform ourselves and in turn transform society.
Yeah. It's amazing how powerful our thoughts are, and it's all built on this, through vibration. But our thoughts are incredibly powerful.
There was an individual who, I believe he was an accountant. He asked Edgar Cayce on one occasion, you know, very often we think, well, how could I really help the world? What position am I in to really have any kind of an impact on what's happening in the Middle East or what's happening with the current wildfire in Canada or whatever it might be? And so somebody asked Mr. Cayce, you know, how can I be of greatest service to humankind? And the answer was simply daily prayer and meditation. And I think what happens is that we set up a vibratory field around ourselves with that, and that as we interact with other people, it changes their vibration, and they in tune change someone else. You know, very often I've been, you know, we all stand in line at grocery stores sometimes. And sometimes, unfortunately, for whatever reason, the person in front of us, you can see they're kind of angry with the clerk, or they're short-tempered, or they're whatever. And then that impacts the clerk, and they might in turn be short-tempered with someone else. So whenever I see that happen, I go out of my way to try to really change the experience of the person behind the cash register, because, you know, those people are going to be interacting with people all day long, and whatever, you know, we can play it forward however we want to. We can play it forward negatively, or we can pay it forward positively.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And a lot of us, you know, we live in a crowded world, so we go in and we're in lines, you know, every day we're in line somewhere, you know, at grocery stores or wherever. And most of the time, nobody talks to anybody, you know, and everybody just clams up. And if you just open up a little bit and be pleasant, and, you know, and nothing more than saying hi in a nice way, it can help. It can help everybody.
Yep. Tell a joke even, you know, just to get people to interact with one another.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and when you talk about locations, it's interesting how an area can influence us. They have, you know, obviously there's this, I think it's called Feng Shui, that talks about the kind of the layout of a house and where rooms are, but it's all about vibration. It's all about trying to set up a vibratory situation that's positive as opposed to negative.
Absolutely, and you know, speaking of vibration and feng shui, when we over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years here, we've renovated our site, and 10 years ago, one of the first things we did was put in a brand new labyrinth, which is basically a circular walkway that people walk through, and they can think of a question perhaps before they enter. And if you walk through the meditative state, very often you'll have the answer at the end of it. But when we were putting in that labyrinth, we had we had people come out and feel the energy and check the energy. And even, and I'm drawing a blank here, where you get the water, you get the sticks and you try to fill water with it.
Right.
Anyway, and so the placement of our labyrinth was based on vibration, and people, it has become a major tourist attraction here. People coming to walk through the labyrinth just to see what it's like.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to have to come down there and see that. The Casey was so committed that he moved from Virginia Beach. I forget where he was originally. I'm sure you remember. But he moved his whole location, and he set it up in Virginia Beach because that was supposedly a better vibrational area for him.
It was. In fact, he was born in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. He spent quite a number of years in both Selma, Alabama, and Dayton, Ohio. His dream was to have a hospital where people could get readings from him, and regular doctors, physiotherapists, nurses, chiropractors, osteopaths would carry out the treatment. And over again, the readings recommended that he found the organization in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Well, at the time, Virginia Beach, Virginia was a small fishing village. We had about 300 residents back in the 1920s. Wow. Today, Virginia Beach is the largest city in the state of Virginia. We have about 500,000 people. But Casey suggested the vibration here would be perfect for him for several reasons. One, he suggested that his psychic ability worked best near large bodies of water. Well, we are right across the street from the Atlantic Ocean, so we've got a large body of water right there. He also suggested that there were vibratory qualities in the sand, that the Virginia Beach sand had what he said were gold properties, and that the element of gold had a very high healing vibration. Unfortunately, and then people who came to the Edgar Casey Hospital would be taken down to the beach and they'd get sand packs, you know, kind of a relaxing thing where you have people put sand on you and you just relax for 45 minutes or so. Unfortunately today, because of the water currents and everything, much of our sand comes from North Carolina. It's trucked in before the summer season and put out on the beach, but there's still energy out there. And the final reason he picked Virginia Beach is he suggested that a couple of hundred years previously, near First Landing, which is not too far from Virginia Beach, that he had come across in a previous life from England as a guy named John Bainbridge, who had been extremely psychic and had unfortunately used his psychic ability to gamble and to pick up women. And Casey said that because he had misused that gift, every time now he had come back to the same place and kind of atoned for it. And every time now when he gave a reading, he would have to put himself to sleep in order to set self aside. And that's why he actually went to sleep on a couch and would tune into the person being asleep when he gave readings.
We go to work and people that have moved around, you're in different groups, especially if you work in a large company and you've worked several of them, and there's a different feeling in these groups. And it's funny how some of them are much more effective as far as one enjoyment for you being in it. But, you know, they seem to prosper. And I guess the more they prosper, the better their attitude is. But and then you go into other groups and it just, boy, this is, you know, glum and glummer. And,
yep.
you could just feel the difference between being in a group or on a team. You know, a team is the same way. And there's a certain attitude that seems to grow. And I guess that's the vibration of the group and how they blend and mix together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes you feel a real resonance with a group and other times you feel a real disconnect. And actually, it just reminded me of a story. When I was working on my master's degree, this is 25 years ago, I had actually written my master's degree on the Ark myth, which is the story of Noah's Ark and everything. And one of the things that I had really been trying to discover was that I was trying to find out what Noah's mother's name was. I mean, that sounds really crazy, but in all the rabbinical resources I'd been to, in the Bible, in legend, there was absolutely never a mention of Noah's mother, which I thought was really crazy. We have an enormous library here. We have about 70,000 volumes. I was at AU one day, our university, Lancaster University, and I was sitting there, and all at once I was overcome with the desire to go to our reserve room, which is rare in old books. I walked in there, I'd never been in there before, and a book on the top shelf attracted me, and I pulled it down. It was an old Bible, over 150, 200 years old. And the book next to it fell off of the shelf, and it was a little booklet called The Maxims of Noah. And I opened that book up, and the first word that jumped out at me was talking about Noah's mother's name, which the book said was Ashmua, A-S-H-M-U-A. Now, the interesting thing to me was it was just holding that thought for several weeks. I wonder what Noah's mother's name was, that there was some kind of a vibratory resonance that pulled me to look for a book I had never seen in a place I would have never gone. And it's just amazing that our thoughts set up a vibratory impact that can pull us towards other people, other events, other things.
Yeah, it is truly amazing. You mentioned in the book that I think Casey said that each organ vibrates at a certain frequency. And when we get sick, it's because that organ gets out of tune. It got some other kind of frequency on it. And we can get back into, get that organ back into its proper vibratory situation by doing whatever. And I think you mentioned that you thought that maybe that was the way certain healing happened, that if somebody, maybe like Jesus or somebody that was very strong that could actually influence that organ, and by maybe not touching it exactly, but because it's internal, but be there, you could have a healing effect on it.
Absolutely. And it's not only somebody though that's of a powerful energy that has a vibration. Everything has a vibration. So that Casey would say that when he recommended various approaches to healing, and he recommended them all. I mean, he recommended surgery, medications, body adjustments, exercise, diet, changes in attitude, that regardless of the form of healing, that very often what that healing does, like let's say if you're going to a massage therapist, the energy of that massage can help alter the energy in your body and help your body return to homeostasis. So that most external healing modalities, even surgery, one of the things they do is they help the body's own energy system return to normal.
I wonder if that's how acupuncture works. You know,
absolutely. I mean, acupuncture, we do it here. Acupuncture works with the different vortexes in the body, and it helps to stimulate the energy at certain places in the body, and that energy in turn, it's like getting a, it would be like, not that you would want to do this on your body, but if you had a car engine battery that was low, you get a jump start. So it's kind of like getting an energetic jump start to whatever part of your body is not operating at optimum levels.
Yeah, those little needles are really just little antennas, actually.
And people, you know, people who've never had it done think it might hurt. It does not hurt. It's actually it's actually very soothing when you have someone who knows what they're doing helping you with acupuncture.
Yeah, it's very soothing. I use it all the time. It's very good for muscle pulls and strains and such. It's a very very helpful procedure. Music. Casey said that classical music is better than jazz, but music is good for us. Talk about that.
Well, I think music is good for lots of reasons. I mentioned early on that, like, if you're trying to change the vibration in a room, that certain kinds of classical music or uplifting music or soothing music can really change that energy level. I'm not sure that. I mean, there's some music that I think, and most people can tell what area of the body the music affects. I think if the music affects your solar plexus area, your belly button, your adrenals, where you become really, you know, riled up after listening to a song, or you become angry or become frustrated, I think Casey would say that is not helping your vibration. That is just getting you reinforcing something that you're frustrated about. Whereas a positive, uplifting, and you know, it might be different for other people. Casey, in fact, said that music is the bridge, or can be the bridge, to higher states of consciousness. And in fact, when we have meditation here, which is a daily activity, meditation is usually a half hour long. And for the first 15 minutes, we play music. And then for the next 15 minutes, it's silent. And so when I meditate at home, I have certain music I like to listen to while I'm meditating, because I think music really can help us enter a different state of consciousness, raise our vibration.
How would somebody select what music they should listen to?
Well, I think it's part of it has to do with, you know, personal choice. I can tell you that, you know, when you're in the car and you listen to certain kinds of music, and it depends on the people. I think for me, for example, soft rock, soft rock has a much more positive feeling than hard rock or heavy metal or something like that. And, you know, I'm not saying it wouldn't be possible for someone to listen to heavy metal and raise their vibration, but I can tell you it's not possible for me. It does not stimulate the higher centers in my body to be in a more positive, uplifting frame of mind. But I think music is so individualized, it'd be very hard to say it's not possible for a person to listen to music and be in a better frame of mind. I think it depends on the person.
So maybe a good guide is if, you know, just go with the music that you like and makes you feel better.
Absolutely. And you know, I think there have been studies shown that certain kinds of music, if you play it around your plants, it helps your plants. Some music can help your plants thrive and grow. Whereas I believe the analogy is also the opposite is also true, that certain kinds of music can make your plants not feel so happy about being in that room. I know my dog, when we play certain kinds of music, leaves the room, and other kinds, she doesn't seem to mind.
Yeah, that's very interesting, and I'm sure your dog is at a different vibration level
than
a lot of people. But it's what works for the dog is what it's is important. Another thing that you mentioned is the impact of names, and names have a vibrational quality, which moves us in one direction. I mean, how interesting is this?
And in fact, you know, I would say at least a dozen occasions when Edgar Cayce was giving a reading for a woman who was pregnant or for a child who had just been born, he would recommend a name that he said this name will hold the vibration that will best suit this individual for his or her life purpose. So, in fact, my predecessor, Charles Thomas Cayce, who retired 10 years ago, his name was given in a reading. Cayce said, "They're asleep on the couch," that his name should be Charles Thomas, and that's what he was named.
You know, the a lot of the what we consider less civilized societies, like the old American Indians, used to name their children for certain characteristics. It makes you wonder who is less civilized. Sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, another thing is, you know, a lot of people in our society, especially the scientific-oriented people, disparage the idea of astrology. But Edgar Cayce didn't, he thought astrology was very true. Do you think astrology is simply the study of how planetary vibrations, and there's no real reason that planets wouldn't have their own vibration, how planetary vibrations impact us?
Well, you know, this is such an interesting topic in the readings. In fact, Cayce has an approach that I have never heard in any other school of thought. And this is his premise, that basically when a soul enters into the earth, that soul has to pick a time and a place that is perfectly represented by the alignments of the planets so that the vibration of the spheres match the vibration of that individual. In other words, it's not just by chance that we're born at a certain time and place, that the whole universe lines up to perfectly match up who we are and what we are to be about. Cayce suggested that, in fact, that is why astrology's best approach would be to describe who a soul was, what their strengths, weaknesses were, what their talents were, even what their past lives were. We have an astrology chart that was created by a professional astrologer that helps people see their past lives with astrology based on the Cayce readings. That said, Cayce said that astrology was not always as accurate with predicting the future because of the predominance of free will. That the astrology was excellent at pinpointing who an individual was when it came in, but after that point, people could make choices, decisions, have experiences that would truly alter events, that each and every one of us had potentials that may or may not be realized based upon our choices and decisions.
It's fascinating that the ancients seem to understand this, yet we don't.
Absolutely.
Our scientific community doesn't.
Absolutely. And, you know, Cayce would say that any of the esoteric sciences, whether it's astrology, palmistry, dream interpretation, even runes, synchronicity, any of those things are excellent signs along the way, really because there is a sympathetic vibration in terms of each and every one of them can give us clues into who we are and what we should be about, that there is a somehow we're connected to all these various things that really are like an open book. It's showing us an open book as who we are and what our lives are supposed to be about.
Yeah, interesting, very interesting stuff. A couple other things in your book that I really liked. One, some people think that we increase our consciousness and vibration, we move towards being one with God. But in your book, you said that it's better to think that we are drawing God's spirit into this world and thus transforming the material world.
Yeah, that's another unique concept that comes from Casey. You know, sometimes among ARE circles, I hear people say, you know, I've had such a challenging life. I hope this is my last lifetime. That is not the premise in the Casey readings. Casey believed that somehow God turned us loose on the third dimension, that in a sense we were kind of volunteering. Okay, God, yeah, we'll help transform the third dimension. And I often tell the ARE staff here, you know, ultimately, everybody in the earth, even if they don't know it, everybody in the earth is an employee for God. We were all sent here to spiritualize, raise the vibration of this dimension. Now, you can look around the world and say, you know, sometimes we're not doing a very good job, and sometimes we're only working part-time, and sometimes we didn't even know we had been hired by God in the first place. But that's why we're here, that somehow our job is to collectively heal the earth, raise the vibration of this planet, and collectively come to understand what oneness is all about. Now, you know, sometimes we look around and say, boy, that's going to be impossible. But, you know, we're here for the long haul, however long it takes. And the good news is if you look back over the last 100, 200, 300 years, it does appear that over long periods of time, humankind does make progress. Things that were acceptable 200, 300 years ago would no longer be acceptable in the earth. So we are making progress, but it is a very slow progress, because most of the time we don't understand what we're really here for. We think we're here for acquisitions. We think we're here for having a great life. We think we're here for getting whatever it is we want, experiencing, you know, drugs, alcohol, whatever it might be. What we're really here for is to manifest the spirituality of the Creator in the earth. That's why we're here.
Yeah, I mean, that's an outstanding message. And one of the problems, you know, that we have trouble with is because, you know, you get bombarded with news and you see the Middle East and you get pretty disappointed, and you see the economic news where, you know, the oil is going up and down, you know, and they always present it in whatever the worst, you know, the oil goes down so it's cheaper, but it's, you know, it's a disaster for somebody or other. And we don't get to see that most of the world, you know, then if you turn off the television and you go back to your normal world that you're in, the life is pretty good. You know, you got a lot of friends. People are pretty pleasant, and that's probably 99% of the planet. But that's not what we see.
I've been to Egypt 6 times. I've been to Israel 3 times. I've been to many of these places that are often in the news. And I tell you, when you look in the eyes of some of these young children, you can see sparkling eyes. You can see the light of the divine. And so the news that is being brought to us when there is something going on in the Middle East, that is not all that's going on in the Middle East. There are some very spiritual, special people there, just like there are here. And our challenge is we only focus on the challenges rather than what is, you know, collectively positive about each and every one of us. And we're doing the same thing in this country. We are so divided now politically, Democrats, Republicans. It's going to be a real challenge, regardless of who gets in office, to try to bring us together as one country.
Yeah, absolutely. We're rapidly running out of time, Kevin. Tell us what's going on with you and the Edgar Casey organization down there.
Let me just present a couple of new highlights. Interesting things are happening. One, we've transitioned a lot of our books now to audiobooks. So if you go to audible.com or iTunes or even Amazon, you can find a lot of the Edgar Casey books on audiobook, which people really like because they can be driving along and they can listen to some of the Casey information on their car speaker. So that's one thing we've done recently. Our university, Atlantic University, which is an accredited university, just launched a new degree program. And the first semester of that degree program is starting in June. It's a master's in mindful leadership, accredited master's in mindful leadership. And I think that is going to be a very exciting course. In fact, the first contingent of students, one of the professors is a retired four-star general who is just the nicest, most wise individual I have almost ever met. So that'll be a great addition to all the curriculum we have here. Interestingly enough, this is our 85th anniversary. So Edgar Cayce founded ARE in 1931. This is our 85th anniversary. We will have a great celebration in June. And I guess finally, I'd like to add that regardless of where your listeners are, if they go to Edgar Cayce, that's cayce.org/online, you can find all kinds of our programs from free to nominal cost to explore some of these concepts in greater detail. And as long as I've been involved in the Cayce work, there is always something interesting, transformative, exciting that has captured my interest. So I think many of your listeners would find the same thing to be true.
Kevin, you are a great guest. Love to have you back here. Thank you so much, Kevin Tedeschi.
Thank you, Dave.
Obtaining wisdom is a long process, as no one can bestow it on us. The more we talk and hear each other's ideas, the more we'll be able to mature our own views. Questions and answers from the chat room for today's show and other shows will be posted on my website at davidgagan.com. You can ask other questions directly by going to the contact section of my website, and I'll publish those answers as well. Also, I cover all these subjects and many more in my book, The Endless Journey. I look forward to sharing our thoughts every Friday morning at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time here on W4CY.com. You can also find all the old episodes on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction, and it turns out to be an amazingly good news story. We all have a great destiny ahead of us. Let me leave you with one last thought. You are a unique spirit having a life experience. You are far more important in the grander scheme of things than you can possibly realize. Enjoy your life. You've earned it.